We've been looking at several scripture passages that talk about the things that we see. Today we're looking at, do you see Him coming? What do you see? We understand that seeing is the use of the eyeballs to visually observe the phenomena around us. Eyeballs are wonderful. Sight is beautiful. Every once in a while, you talk to somebody that's in danger of losing their sight, or they have something happen that temporarily takes their sight away. For me, it's every morning when I can't find my glasses right away. But sight also involves the creative use of the mind to visualize a mental picture of something. When you read a book, you form a mental picture of something. You ever read a book and the mental images formed and then you watch a movie of it? Yeah. I will never go see one of the Jack Reacher movies where Tom Cruise is playing Jack Reacher. In the books, he's 6'5" and well-built, and 5'7" Tom Cruise just ain't it. The mental image is so far removed from what the movie thinks is appropriate that I just can't do it. You know, there's benefits to being literate occasionally. But if you read The Lord of the Rings before you saw the movies, you thought, you know, not too bad. Not too bad. But sight involves that kind of mental image. And in the passage we're looking at today, our Lord is challenging us to see what He's going to look like when He comes. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Right towards the end of the Bible. If you're looking through a paper Bible, if you're clicking through an alphabetical list of books, 1 John comes up pretty quickly. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because they didn't know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. He said we are called the children of God. There is a parent-child relationship with God. The key there is we are in a relationship with God. And the characteristics of that relationship with God that we are allowed to have is as the relationship between a parent and a child. It is not an equal relationship. God is the parent and we are the child. I feel for those parents who mistake that in their homes about who's the parent and who's the child. And sometimes some parents need to be reminded, who's the adult here? Because what do parents do with children? Well, we learn from our parents. Our parents have some things they want to teach us. In fact, here's an interesting little quiz for parents or those who would be parents. What do you want to teach your kid? Give me four things that are the priority that you want your child to learn before they're grown and out of your house. And it's interesting how so many parents have not a clue what they want to teach their kids. But Jesus has things He wants to teach us. God has things He wants to instruct us in. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love our neighbors as ourselves. He had a pretty decent list of 10 rules He gave Moses on the mountain, of things He wanted us to know about who He was. There's teaching. As children of God, we're to obey. Now, I'm an American, I'm free, I don't think I ought to obey anyone. But if I'm a child of God, I do not lose that understanding that part of my relationship with God as a father-child, parent-child relationship is that I obey God. Obey means do what He says when He says. If you're a parent and you tell your kid to do something and they say sometime in the next 15 years, that's disobedience. I'm to obey God. It's an unequal relationship. But some of the things the parents do are the parents care for us. They understand and meet our needs. Sometimes as a parent you struggle to figure out what your kid needs. Anywhere from a swift kick to tender loving care. And different times kids need different things. But as parents, we try and provide for our kids' needs. We had a kid that changed shoe sizes every 2 months for a few years. Some of you all know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a good thing we lived in Yuma, because we tried to keep him in long pants. It never would have worked. But that kid wore shorts to school all the time, so it worked out pretty good. Because every time we bought him a pair of long pants, on the way home from the store, he would outgrow them. But you provide for your kids. You shelter your children. And God shelters us. Look how many times through the Scripture it talks about His Word being a shield, His Word being a protector, Him giving us care and concern. He is our rock. He is our fortress. The parent shelters the child. Here's a good prayer request for you. God, don't let go today. Parents provide encouragement. You know what the most common words from an angel in Scripture are? Fear not. Do not be afraid. One, that's because angels are scary, okay? But God's instructions for us are to be encouraged. And parents, encourage their children. Kid comes to you with some wild, crazy idea of something he wants to try that you ain't never heard of before. And you as a parent are going, okay. Give it your best. Weird, crazy kid. But parents encourage. And we're provided for. We're in a relationship with God. And that relationship is a parent-child relationship. Jesus even called the Father, Abba, Father. Best translation is Daddy. We are His children. He is our Heavenly Father. And the relationship we have with Him is as His child. When a child is small and new and still kind of leaky. The relationship is lots of nurture and care and provision. But when the child is older and mouthy and snarky, the relationship has a little more sense of discipline and expectation to it. And one of Peter's complaints about the growing church was that you're still needing milk instead of solid food. Because we get stuck in an infantile relationship with God. Nurse me, Mama, nurse me. Sounds weird when the kid's 15. Kind of sounds weird to God, too. And so there's a sense of an expectation of growth and maturity. Remember that first time you let the first kid have the keys to your car? Scary, scary, scary. Time the third kid came around, I don't care if you ever drive, you can walk forever. But there's an expectation of maturity that comes. I'm a child of God. This year I've been a child of God for 50 years. I was saved when I was 9 and I'm 59 now. That's half a century. Hopefully, some maturity has come along that path. I'm a child of God. Then he says, the world just doesn't get it. You ever tried explaining something to someone who just doesn't get the concept? Several months ago, our well went out at the house. And the neighbor called and says, I don't have any water. I said, yeah, the well's out. I've called the repair people. They'll be here sometime in the next 12 hours. And then they'll figure out what's wrong, and hopefully they'll repair the well, and then we'll have water again. And she says, but I don't have any water. And I said, the well's not working. But I don't have any water. And we had this wonderful conversation that I was speaking English, but she was not hearing anything I was saying. You ever try to explain something to someone who just doesn't get it? What do you want me to do? Get a bucket from the neighbor and throw it at you? I managed to avoid that level of sarcasm. Not by much. Your coupon is expired. You cannot use it. Explaining to someone something they just don't get. My wife is a librarian for third to fifth graders. The kids understand everything she's saying. Some of the parents, on the other hand, your child has not turned back their library book. They need to pay for it. Okay, there's a miscommunication somewhere here. Your child checked the book out. They're responsible for the book. You as parent have to pay for the book because it's not coming back to the library. And the sounds coming back sound just like the adults in the old Peanuts cartoons. Wah, 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 you know. The world doesn't get Jesus. The world doesn't get the idea that you and I have a father-child relationship with Jesus. The world doesn't understand that we have a relationship with God that transcends every aspect of our lives. Oh, you believe in God? Well, keep it at church. You want to pray? Pray in church. Don't pray in public. He gives me food in public. I'm going to thank him for it. What do you mean? Your beliefs affect how you vote. God is my Father and I want to be obedient. And the world goes, why? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't have any water. I have living water. And Jesus even told the disciples, you don't understand. We have a relationship with God. And the world does not get it. Then he says, there come a point where we will see him just as he is. He gives a time reference to it, an exact time reference, when he appears. Okay? Well, when's that going to be? Whenever he feels like it. You ever ask your parents, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Kids talking to their parents, we will see him like he is. We will see him in all of his beauty. Do not forget the beauty of God. Do not forget how in this creation that he made for us, so many things are set up for beauty. That we can appreciate the visual sight of the wonderful things he has made. My uncle came through Arizona several years ago and he stopped by the Grand Canyon, because if you're going from Kentucky through the Arizona, you have to stop by the Grand Canyon and see it at least once. He stopped by our house in New Mexico and my mother asked him what he thought of the Grand Canyon, and he said it looked like a bunch of rocks. Talk about not getting it. We will see him like he is in all of his beauty. We'll see him like he is in all of his majesty. In all of his wonderful, crowned forever, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, majesty. He's beautiful. He's majestic. We will see him in all of his strength, his power. We one time missed transportation for Jeremy coming home, and a thunderstorm ripped through Yuma right at that time, and he shows up about 8 years old on our doorstop, looking exactly like a drowned rat. And we had a conversation about the power of God. One time he and I were out swimming in the Colorado River, and it has a pretty good current at different times of the year. He got caught in the current and went a pretty good ways downstream before we were able to get back together and get him back where he's good. We had a conversation about the power of God. We will see him in all of his strength. We'll see him in all of his love. We do not understand the love a parent has for a child until we are a parent. And then if you've got a parent that has lost a child, you understand even further the depth of the love of a parent for a child. And when we see Him as He is, we will see Him in all of His love for us. We can't even understand His love for us because we certainly don't love ourselves that much. We're pretty hard on ourselves most of the time. We're not real thrilled with some of the ways things have turned out for us. But our parent loves us. In all the forgiveness. It's amazing how many people talk about families that have no sense of forgiveness. Families that have only judgment and only disappointment. And yet, our Heavenly Father's not that way. When we see Jesus as He is, we will see Him like when He was on the cross with His hands stretched out wide and the nails in His hands, and He reached out and He looked at everyone and He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." We will see Him in all of His forgiveness. We will see Him in all of His purity. You know, our lives get pretty messed up after a while. Do you have one of those knick-knack shelves in your house? It's where you stick all the stuff you never use, but you bought sometime on a trip because you thought it looked cool. Or somebody gave it to you for Christmas because they thought it looked cool. And you didn't know what else to do with it, so you stuck it on the shelf and called it a knick-knack so it could go on the knick-knack shelf. And you leave that there for a while. And they go by after a few months, and they've turned furry. Because the dust has gathered on them. And you look at that, and you go, ooh. And sometimes you can clean it, and sometimes they don't clean very well. And it's no longer that bright, pretty, shiny thing that you're so proud of when you stuck it up the first time. Now it's this mess. And that's kind of where our lives are. We go through lives, we keep getting stained and spotted and messed up. We've lost our sense of purity, but we will look at Jesus and we will see Him in all of His purity, because we will see Him just as He is. All of His beauty, all of His majesty, all of His strength, all of His love, all of His forgiveness, all of His purity, just as He is. You see Him coming? When you've got a group of students whose teachers left the classroom for a few minutes, there's usually one kid that looks out the window and tells you when he's coming back. The kids are left home alone to take care of stuff. There's the one kid that looks out when they see the parents driving up. They see him coming. Do you see Jesus coming? Do you see Him approaching? Do you see Him returning? Do you recognize He's coming again? Do you see Him coming? And the Scripture says that what happens is we will purify ourselves when we see Him coming. There are things that dirty a soul and things that purify a soul. I know what dirties my clothes. When I work outside in the yard, work on the car, I dirty my clothes. I sweat a lot, it dirties my clothes. And usually once a week, my dear sweet wife takes my clothes and cleans them. puts them in the wash machine, puts in extra detergent, and cleans them. Well, I know it dirties my soul. My sinful thoughts, my sinful words, my lusts that transform. I know it dirties my soul. But the blood of Christ cleans it. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I see Him coming, I'll purify my soul because I know He's coming back. And quite frankly, there's some stuff I just soon He not catch me doing. Do you see Him coming? Do you see Him coming? Let's pray. Father, help us to recognize that Jesus is coming again. That each day He gets closer and closer and closer. And Father, I pray that we be in the progress of purifying our souls and not just sitting on our blessed assurances. Father, help us to see the day coming and all the more as You draw near. Help us to see You coming again. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.